A thing that looks like a police box standing in a junkyard. It can move anywhere.
Haven, concentrate on Sin. Give priority to the detectors and the navigation systems.
There is a corridor. And the corridor is time. It surrounds all things.
On display, I eventually had to go down to the cellar. That's the display department. With a torch. The lights are probably gone. So had the stairs.
Yours is number 6.
I am not a number. I am a person.
Welcome to British Invaders, episode 217. This is the podcast all about British science fiction television, and this time we are continuing our discussion of Dick Spanner PI. This is Brian from Canada.
And this is Eamon from England. Hello.
Dick Spanner PI was a somewhat odd television series that was produced by Gerry Anderson and Christopher Burr in 1986, broadcasting in 1986 and 1987. The show was divided into two stories, a total of 22 episodes, each episode 6 minutes long, that aired originally on the Channel 4 children's series called Network 7. So these were short episodes that would serialize into 11-episode-long stories with two sort of detective cases in this sort of science fiction parody of the 1940s detective shows.
And it's a stop-motion animation, which is unusual for Gerry Anderson. It's almost a sort of claymation, because most of the models seem to be sort of that sort of plasticine clay. And it features the robot detective, Dick Spanner, and his strange cases, which are absolutely packed full to the brim with verbal and visual gags for our viewing entertainment. The jokes come thick and fast. And as I'm discussing this, I'm wondering why Gerry Anderson didn't come up with his own sort of name for super claymation or something like that, as he usually did for his other animation shows.
Yes, that's right. There wasn't actually a name for the medium. It was just referred to as stop-motion animation. And it did lots of film noir and sort of old Hollywood references and parodies and science fiction things slipped in. Lots of fun stuff. So we should get on to talking about the second story, The Case of the Maltese Parrot.
Yes, you can see where the sort of Hollywood and classic Private Eye references are straight away with the title. And this case for Dick Spanner PI begins, as did the first one, with that a Star Wars parody shot of a large spaceship flying overhead. And the on-screen title that tells us that this is not so long ago in a parallel universe not far from here. And this time, Dick Spanner has been hired by a character called Too Tall Johnson to investigate the case of their missing parrot. That's Too Tall Johnson and his brother, who have a missing parrot. And the investigations will take Dick Spanner deep into the heart of the film industry and to Ivywood itself. You can see another little reference and in-joke there.
Yes, absolutely. And we have the little thing in there that Too Tall Johnson is also suing Dick Spanner for a loss of height. In the cameo in the first one, something fell on Too Tall Johnson and he was sort of crushed down to be much shorter. So Too Tall Johnson is suing him, but also hiring him. And part of the deal is he'll drop the suit if Dick Spanner can find the parrot. So there's a fun sense of humor going on in there. And lots of parodies going on in there. And sort of thinly veiled versions of actors from the golden age of Hollywood, with Douglas Sandbanks Jr., Hair Oil Flynn, and of course the return of a character from the first story, Mae East. So lots of good parodies there, and of as usual, Dick Spanner is getting himself into all sorts of trouble and getting himself out of it just as soon as he can, with lots of falling from great heights and so on.
Yes, that's right. He makes several of his dumb moves and is often falling from great heights with the familiar jokes about his voluminous trench coat's pockets and the fact that he can never pull anything useful from them. And we also get a bit of recognisable dialogue this time from one of the other characters, in that one of the actresses, the Ivywood actresses, has a butler. And of course, when the butler speaks, he does so in a very familiar Parker-like voice and says, "Yes, m'lady." So a little reference back there to Thunderbirds, which was nice as well.
Yes, this is full of references to all sorts of things, and it was really neat to see that particular reference to one of Anderson's own shows slipped in there. So lots of fun things with that, for sure.
So this is a Gerry Anderson show from the 1980s, and it's a strange time, I think, for Gerry Anderson. He'd had the sort of height of popularity of his shows in the 60s, when Thunderbirds, Stingray, Captain Scarlet and the Mistrons sort of ruled the television airwaves. In the 70s, he had his attempts at moving into live action with shows like UFO and Space 1999, which we've also previously talked about on British Invaders.
One of the few of the Anderson shows that got a second season was Space 1999. So there was some success there in the 70s too.
Yes, as you say, unusual for him to get a second season or to want to do a second season. And there we have, in the 1980s, he's working with this partner, Christopher Burr, and they produce the Supra Macromation glove puppet show, Terrorhawks, which, well, we, you know, may come up at some point on British Invaders. Certainly it's been in the news recently, Brian.
Well, yes, that was actually picked up by Big Finish. So Big Finish is making audios based on the Terrorhawks, and they're very faithful to the original show with a lot of the original actors in there. But it is not usually considered one of his most successful shows or one of his best shows, although it does have a certain cult following and a lot of people who were children watching it in the 80s remember it and enjoy it to this day. But his attempts to launch another live-action show, which was always all through the puppet years and everything, Gerry Anderson always wanted to do live-action work. And his attempts to get a third live-action show going in the 1980s did not, in fact, happen. Although in the mid-1990s, it finally did with his series Space Precinct, which dealt with police out in space.
Yes, that had been an idea he had, I think, knocking around for a while and finally got to make in the 90s. But here we are, as we say, in the 80s with this slightly unusual stop-motion animation show, Dick Spanner PI. It remains a little bit of an oddity, especially with the strange handling it got on its DVD sort of re-release or attempt at a relaunch in 2007. We know that towards the end of the 80s, Gerry Anderson moved to become a television commercials director for the Moving Picture Company. So, as I say, it must have been a slightly difficult time for him, with him trying to keep these various shows or these ideas of his going.
Yes, that's right. And it does leave this one as a bit of an oddity that is often forgotten when people talk about Gerry Anderson's work.
Yes, I confess that, you know, even with my sort of massive enthusiasm for the 60s puppet shows, I'd actually not heard of Dick Spanner PI at all until we put it on our list to do.
Now, there were a couple of spin-offs into other media of a sort. Dick Spanner was the inspiration for Gerry Anderson's series of television commercials for Tennent's Pilsner Beer, which featured a very similar robotic detective called Lou Tennant, and the sort of same style of the animation and the sight gags and the verbal gags and things. So it was not actually Dick Spanner, but did sort of keep something of that feel and bring it into a new space, which was kind of interesting.
Yes, and if you watch some Dick Spanner and then find on YouTube some of these Lieutenant Pilsner adverts, you'll see they are very similar. I mean, Lieutenant is Dick Spanner in all but name, really. And he brought across that same style of animation and that same packing it in with jokes and puns and visual gags. There were also Dick Spanner toys, apparently, but they're very rare and expensive now. I've saw one recently on eBay, and it's quite a pricey deal. And interestingly, on a sort of similar and related note, when that DVD was coming out in 2007, there was a news story that the original Dick Spanner puppet had been stolen from Gerry Anderson, which of course provoked a little bit of interest, and then it turned out to be a hoax by some enthusiastic publicists trying to promote the DVD release. But there you go. We do hear about puppets disappearing or changing hands for large amounts of money or being left in the back of taxis in one famous example. So yeah, interesting stuff for 2007.
Quite bizarre that that was issued as a bit of news and then turned out to be a publicity stunt. You know, that sort of thing people talk about but doesn't really actually happen very often.
No, that's right. That's a strange one.
We actually did get a one new episode of Dick Spanner PI with a DVD that was released not long ago called The Worlds of Gerry Anderson. And it included one episode of what was a planned third story.
Yes, that's right. It's it looks to have been the start of a third case with Dick Spanner meeting the world's greatest detectives. And as you say, it's on this rather interesting DVD full of some sort of Gerry Anderson odds and ends, Brian.
Yes, that's right. And the edit we have has Jerry Higgum doing the voice instead of Shane Rimmer. Honestly, while it was interesting to get it, I don't think that one little episode is nearly as interesting or as good as the original ones from the 80s.
Yeah, no, that's right. And we do, you know, you notice the absence of Shane Rimmer. I presume because this isn't lip sync animation, Shane Rimmer was doing a voiceover for these episodes. So I presume his vocal track could be recorded afterwards rather than before the animation. And I presume as this third case never got off the ground, that he never got round to actually recording that. And that's why we have a different voice on the this recent DVD release, which doesn't quite do it for me.
Yes, I don't know if it was a temporary voice that was in place from when it was produced in the late 80s, or if it was added for this DVD release. But in any case, it's 1 6-minute episode, which is interesting to see, but on its own, it doesn't add that much to the Dick Spanner PI series.
Edward G. told me I had a choice. Right. It was Hobson's choice. So, I made another dumb move. I jumped. I was walking all right, on air. Then I remembered these anti-gravity pills I'd won in a crap game. Jumping Jehoshaphat, my old stuffed moose head.
So that sort of wraps it up for the two episode or the two cases of Dick Spanner PI and our sort of whistle stop tour through some of the related stories from the 1980s. And that takes us on to the good and the bad of this show, the bits we liked and the bits we weren't quite so sure about. How would you like to start us off, Brian?
Well, I think the obvious thing is Shane Rimmer's narration, which I thought was wonderful. I really enjoyed the performance he gave for it and the style. I thought hit the sort of film noir and the surreal kind of vibe to it very well, and didn't go overboard with doing funny voices as animated and cartoon kinds of things often do. I thought it was a really nice narration, and the humor with all the puns and gags in it, I thought he did a great job with all of that.
Yes, we're big fans of Shane Rimmer here on British Invaders, the voice of Scott Tracy himself. And of course, he's done several other things. He's been in Bond movies. He, of course, was in the pilot for, I think, the unused pilot for Space Police, which is on that Lost Worlds of Gerry Anderson DVD and would later turn into Space Precinct, but without Shane Rimmer. So, yeah, Shane Rimmer's voiceover is that classic Philip Marlowe private detective going down the mean streets, and it's wonderfully done. You sense that he's having a bit of fun with it himself, and and, you know, as I say, it was rather jarring to have that one episode recently without his voice. We really missed it.
Yes, it easily could have been overdone and turned into something silly or something, doing the sort of caricature New York 1940s voice pushed to extreme. He didn't go there. He kept it, you know, just where it should be, I think.
Yeah, excellent stuff. You've mentioned the animation. Dick Spanner himself is a rather fun puppet, and he works quite well. I guess some of the background characters who are mostly plasticine clay, they're sometimes are a bit cruder, and the animation of them sometimes looks a bit more jerky than even we would expect, I guess, from claymation from a similar time period. So there are some hiccups in the background characters, I think, Brian.
There are, and the style is sort of basic in some ways. But I think in these little 6-minute episodes that are really based on the humor and the stories themselves are very silly, I think for what it is, it works very well. And, you know, if you were doing a 2-hour movie or a 1-hour weekly series, these visuals would not work for it. But for a serialized 6-minute, you know, comedy parody kind of show, I think it's fine. I think it works pretty well. In the same way that the Terry Gilliam animation in Monty Python's Flying Circus, because you just had it for a few minutes at a time and it was all about the comedy, it was very good. But you wouldn't want to see, you know, a 2-hour drama of that style of animation.
No. Okay. Yeah, I mean, as you say, it works best perhaps in the 6-minute episodes, and there are a few defects, but you can ignore those because we've got the writing of this show, which is jam-packed with in-jokes, movie references, and gags galore. As we said last time, if you don't like one joke, you don't need to worry because there'll be another 10 along in a moment. So it's certainly packed in with fun stuff, Brian.
Yes, I do like the sense of humor in this. It's quite quick and it's dry and has lots of puns and is quite well done.
Yes, if you love a pun, this will be the one for you. It's packed to the gunnels with jokes.
Now, I think, as we've said, this probably is best viewed in the original 6-minute episodes. Even if you watch a whole story at once, I like having it broken up into those little episodes. Or you can certainly watch them spread out a few at a time. But I think that really is the right approach for this, rather than putting it into a longer format.
How did you find the Christopher Burr music when watching one episode after another? Did you find that became a bit repetitive?
Well, it is repetitive, but it didn't bother me. I thought it was okay.
Okay. I mean, the background music is a sort of, it is repetitive, as you say. It's just the same theme over and over again. And possibly that was why Gerry Anderson chose to change it when he wanted a new edit for the 2007 DVD release although, as we've said, the music for that was not a popular choice. So if you are watching several episodes on the go, it perhaps the music will start to get on your nerves a little bit. It can do that.
Yes, well, of course, that's the nice thing about this format and the YouTube episodes is you can watch a few episodes, you know, watch one or two or three episodes and stop when you're when you've heard enough for the moment.
Yeah, absolutely. Anything else about the show that didn't work quite so well for you, Brian?
I don't think so. I think for what they were doing, I thought it worked well.
Okay, so it's as we said, it was a 6-minute episode produced to go out on a Saturday morning kids show, which presumably was packed with lots of other various cartoons and studio features and so on. And it has to be looked at, I think, in that context, because as Gerry Anderson said himself, they didn't really have anything like a budget for this. So it's not a huge production cost. And for claymation shows, well, we know that on the horizon a few years after this, there's going to be one enormous claymation success coming to British television with the Wallace and Gromit animations. And it's obviously, it doesn't quite hit the heights of that. But for a little 6-minute format on a kids show, not bad.
Yeah, the visuals of this are not in the same league as the visuals of Wallace and Gromit. And I think that's really a budget thing. You know, they had the budget for Wallace and Gromit to have the people spending a lot of time on the models and on setting up the photography to record it in stop motion style. Where this, I'm sure, was done in a much quicker way where they had to push through and get everything done. But as I have referenced earlier, it's really the narration from Shane Rimmer that's the heart of this. And everything else, all of the sound effects and even the animation are adding extra color to that.
Yes, as you say, a fabulous job by Shane Rimmer, who really does deliver a perfect Philip Marlowe type voiceover.
Okay, so I think on that note, we should go into our recommendations. I will start this one. I really enjoyed Dick Spanner PI, and the free YouTube version of it that's out there, officially licensed, is well put together and worth watching. It's quite funny. You might want to watch a bunch at once or split it up, but I would say definitely check it out. So strong recommendation from me for something that is fun, oddball little show that is really quite neat.
Okay, well, I found Dick Spanner PI a bit of an oddity. As I said, I'd never heard of it before. I'd never seen any of it, although I was aware of the Lieutenant television commercials, and now I know where they came from. I found it slightly more difficult watching it, and certainly I think you're probably right, watching a few 6-minute episodes is better than trying to watch the whole thing in one go. Shane Rimmer's fantastic. Some of the jokes are quite hilarious. Some of the others don't work quite as well. But I think the best thing about it, as you say, Brian, is that it's free and legal to watch it. So I think my recommendation is quite different because of that. And I would say, yeah, go and check out a few and see if you enjoy it. They're very short. And as I say, if it's not your thing, well, you haven't had to invest in a big DVD set. If it was for sale, I think I'd be much more cautious about it. But I'd say, yeah, sure, have a go at Dick Spanner PI, and then do come by the Facebook group and tell us what you think.
Yes, very good. Definitely an oddity, but an interesting one with some interesting people involved. So, in summary, Dick Spanner PI was a stop-motion television show that used a mixture of claymation-type techniques with other media, bits of metal, that sort of thing, in this sort of stop-motion animated visual. And the visuals accompanied this narration by Shane Rimmer that told the story of Dick Spanner, the private investigator who happened to be a robot, going through these two different cases, two investigations, that are convoluted and silly and lead us through this weird and wonderful world that is like a strange futuristic kind of view of the world mixed with a film noir 1940s type of look, giving us this very different 1980s show with these serialized short episodes in a fun little bit of comedy that is now available.
Very good. Probably has the highest gags per second rate of any show we'll ever discuss on British Invaders.
Probably so.
So, come back next time and join us, because we're going to stick with Channel 4, but a very, very different show indeed, Misfits, a more recent show about a group of teenagers who have strange powers, a series that got 5 series from 2009 to 2013, and one that comes very much with an adult content warning, I think, Brian.
Yes, absolutely. And it's an interesting one because it sort of riffs on the superhero genre and does something very different with it. So you can find us at BritishInvaders.com, and you can join us on our Facebook group. If you search for British Invaders on Facebook, you will find us there, and we always have lots of good discussions going on there.
Yes, do drop by and tell us what you think about Dick Spanner PI, and also drop by the Voice of Geeks Network, vognetwork.com, internet streaming radio for all your geek-related show needs. British Invaders is one of a roster of shows. We go out on Mondays and Tuesdays, but you'll find several of the great shows there as well, and a community, so do come and join us, vognetwork.com.
Yes, absolutely. So thank you for listening. This is Brian from Canada, signing off.
Yes, thanks very much indeed. And until next time, it's Eamon in England saying, jump in Jehoshaphat, another dumb move.